Hey, this is Michael Dixon, and we wanted to thank you for downloading the podcast from Recklessly at Hattiesburg. Wanted to give you the heads up of something you'll be hearing a little bit about in the talk tonight. As we go through this Advent season, we're raising money for a project called the Haiti Water Project, which is providing clean water wells for people in Haiti that do not have it. One in every 7 or 8 children in Haiti will die before the age of 5 because of disease, and most of those are waterborne illnesses. For about $3,000, we can build a well that will give clean water to thousands of people. So we're trying to raise money for that this Christmas season. If you are interested in participating in that and you don't happen or aren't going to be able to make it out on a Sunday night before the end of the year, you can send any donations you have to P.O. Box 641, Hattiesburg, Mississippi 39403. You can make the check out to Ecclesia, that's E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A, Ecclesia Hattiesburg, but in the memo line, just put Haiti Water Project. Anything that you send before, that's postmarked before the end of the year, will get credited to you as a tax deduction. So participate with us. We'd love to be able to dig as many of these wells as we can for folks that need it. And again, thank you for downloading the podcast, and we hope to see you in person soon. Bye.
Can I have a seat? We'll sing a couple more songs at the end. We got a little handout. I'm going to go ahead and send that out. Instead of passing out Bibles, there's a bunch of scriptures on this piece of paper that we're going to look at in a few minutes. If you need an information card, they can give you an information card too. Just let them know. As most of you know, we're in the season of Advent. Last week we talked about preparation. The second week in Advent is this idea of preparing. There's a lot of passages about going to the desert. A lot of passages about basically stepping outside of our normal everyday life, stepping outside of what how we normally would just by default act and react in the world. Going out into the desert like John the Baptist, like the people of God were after the Exodus, and relearn what it really means to be the people of God. And so we talked a little bit about that last week, and what we talked about was the idea that maybe we need to step outside of the way we normally celebrate Christmas, which is essentially kind of bowing to the god of consumerism, when, you know, shop, 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 buy, presents and Visa bills and everything else, right? And step outside of that and begin to really consider how it is that we're called to celebrate and whether or not the things that we celebrate really reflect the God that we say we're following. And so we talked about that preparation, and then we talked about the idea maybe of just spending less. Maybe if we just spent a little bit less on things that didn't matter, it would be one of our ways today for us to, for lack of a better way of putting it, go out into the desert, to just go out and look a little bit different and rethink the way we approach things. And now a little bit ironically, tonight, while we talked about spending less last week, I want to talk tonight about giving more. And I know those sound like competing terms at first, but I don't think they are. And this week of Advent is set aside for the idea of joy. And I'm going to work from the premise tonight that true joy really is found in giving more. And I do think giving more can work well with the idea of spending less and not giving into the gods of consumerism and all that kind of stuff. And again, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this tonight. We're going to try and get out of here for too long because there's a lot of stuff going on in the building. But I want us to think about where this true joy comes from and what it might really mean for us to give more. Because while we talked about spending less last week, we need to keep talking, because if you just leave it there, then it sounds like what we're just supposed to do is just kind of be maybe Grinches, and we're supposed to just tighten up the purse strings as tight as we can and just, you know, just sit on our money, maybe stuff it in the mattress and wait for the end to come, and just, you know, that's the way to do it. Otherwise, if you spend too much, then, you know, you're just, if you spend anything, then you're not celebrating Christmas at all. And that wasn't the point of what we were talking about last week. Certainly, a lot of us spend too much, period, and we just need to spend less. Certainly, some of us don't even spend our own money. Some of us buy everyone's Christmas presents on Visa's dime, and that's probably not a good way of living our life, and we should probably re-examine that. But it's not just about being thrifty and tightening up the purse strings and not giving at all, as much as it is what we're giving to and what we're giving, even. I think, to me, it's an obvious thing to say that our God is a very giving God. Our God gives abundantly. And we as followers of God, we as people that are made in the image of God, are called to be abundant givers as well. And don't worry, this isn't leading into a pass the plate talk, because that's not what we're getting at. We are called to give a lot. And one of the lessons that the Israelites learned in the desert is that compiling a bunch of stuff, hoarding a bunch of stuff is bad. It always stinks up the tent, right? If you took more than what you needed for the day, then the manna would rot and smell up the tent. And so part of what we were getting at last week is that idea of just not spending and spending and gathering and gathering. We are supposed to give, but in the vein of fighting this idea of consumerism, the idea of spending less, I do believe true joy is going to be found in us giving more. God is not cheap. God gives abundantly. God is not hands-off and self-centered. God gives sacrificially. So really the question tonight is this. We said a couple weeks ago the line that Tony told me, which is we reflect the God we serve, right? Tony was talking about some people that didn't work hard at work. He said, don't blame them because they reflect the God they serve, right? What God are we going to reflect this season? How we give, what we give, reflects the God we serve, right? If Christmas for us is only about whatever plastic thing we've brought from China via Walmart and wrapped in a bow and put underneath a tree, if that's the extent of what the gifts we give at Christmas are all about, what does that communicate about the God we serve and what's important and what gives value in this world? Now, don't hear me wrong as we're talking tonight. I'm not saying that presents that are wrapped underneath a tree are bad in and of themselves. But if that's the full extent of our expression of giving during this season, then I would say we're reflecting a different God than the God that shows up as a child in the manger. Wow, I didn't realize how loud those were, Colby. Thank you. I can hear. And the sheet that you have in front of you, I just wanted to take a couple minutes. And again, we're going to be out of here in about 5 minutes. We're not going to take a long time because this isn't a very difficult topic in the sense of trying to understand it, although it is not an easy thing to put into practice. And I just went through and just grabbed a few verses, and this is just a handful of many more that we could do that talk about what kind of things our God gives. And I want us to just read through these and think about them. And then I want us to think about, is this the kind of giving that we're reflecting in the Christmas season? Or do we just reflect the same kind of giving as the rest of the kind of larger world around us? Or are we kind of a unique, peculiar kind of picture of what this giving should look like? Let's just look at a couple of these. Let's just kind of march down through them. Matthew 11, 27 through 29. Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. So God gives rest to the weary. Matthew 15, 35 through 37. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. He then took seven loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up the seven basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. So God gives food to those that are hungry. Matthew 20, 27 through 29. And whoever wants to be to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. God gives God's life in service to others. Luke 10, 18 through 20. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. God empowers others to overcome that which steals life from them. Luke 12, 32 through 33. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. So God gives us the kingdom of God, filled with those things that truly last, the things that won't go away, that won't rust, can't be stolen, won't be destroyed. John 14, 26 through 28. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. God gives shalom, peace, a lasting wholeness. John 6, 32 through 34. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And ultimately, and this is what we really truly, above and beyond all else, celebrate during the Christmas season, ultimately God gives God's self. And this self-giving gives true life to the world. So these are the kinds of things that the God that we say, okay, we're going to try and reflect this God. These are the kind of things that this God gives. And the question before us, and for me the really difficult question this time of year is, do I give these kind of gifts? I think the term we used last year is re-gifting, right? I mean, have you ever gotten a present that you're like, you go, oh, that's real nice, and they leave the room and you go, uh-uh, and you stick it in the closet that's going to be the, well, next time someone else's birthday comes along, I'm just going to go ahead and pass that along, right? It's this idea of re-giving what's been given to us, of reflecting the God we serve. But how much time, money, and energy do we spend on things that can and will never actually bring any of these things that God gives? Never actually bring rest or peace or empowerment or healing or meet any real actual needs that are out there? How much of the gifts we give don't really matter? It's one of the reasons I like seeing like really small babies, like the first Christmas kind of thing. I don't know if you've ever gotten to celebrate Christmas with a young baby. And it's like parents, like, of course, go overboard, especially if it's like the first child and it's their first Christmas, and you know, they got full outfits for the kid, looks like a cartoon character, and they've got, you know, just boxes of stuff. And like the kids, at least a couple times I've been around, like open up all this stuff, and there's probably $300 worth of toys from wherever, and then they spend the whole afternoon playing in the box. You know, and they're like the box is like they're sitting in it and, you know, putting the wrapping paper on their head and like all the things that, you know, cost any money and all the things that we thought were going to just change this child's life and, you know, they're going to learn better and they're going to be well-liked by all that stuff. None of that stuff matters, right? And we spend so much time and so much money and so much energy on these things that really end up not being important at all in and of themselves. And the gifts of God are gifts that have real value. And I think ultimately, these are the things that if we were going to find true joy in this season and not just be exhausted and not just feel worn out and not just be praying that it'll be over soon, but if we're going to find that true lasting joy in this season and in our lives in general, we need to learn how to give more of these kind of gifts, of God's kind of gifts. To me, this is why I said we don't normally kind of ask for money or any of that kind of stuff, but for Haiti Water Project, I'm all about kind of pushing for it. Because to me, Haiti Water Project is one of those God kind of gifts that we can give. I mean, think about that list of things we just went through. When you're talking about the Haiti Water Project, you are talking about God's kind of gift. You are talking about meeting an actual need of hurting people. You are giving water to people that are thirsty, the way Christ asked us to do and the way God did. You are empowering people to overcome things that hold them down and steal life from them. You are bringing peace to mothers who fear about the safety of their children because they may not make it because of all the waterborne diseases. You're giving rest. You're giving rest to people who are walking miles a day trying to carry water just to survive. You are giving all these gifts that are the gifts of God. And ultimately, the Christmas season and our lives are really intended to be focused on giving these kind of gifts. And true joy and true meaning and true value in our lives are found when we engage with these things. It's one of those kind of upside down, backwards things about the way God works. God has this thing where it's, you know, humble yourself, become a servant, and then you'll find true life. Then you'll find abundant life. Then life will matter. And it seems counterintuitive to us because we think we gather, we accumulate, we do all these things, and then I feel more secure and I feel better about my life. And God says, give, 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 give my kind of gifts and watch what happens. Again, another reason why we're at Hawkins Elementary School. Because in very real and tangible ways, as you look at these kinds of gifts that God gives, we have the opportunity to give these gifts to kids who need it. And like we've said before, every dollar we spend, every hour we spend, every bit of energy, whatever kind of resource it is, whether it's, you know, capital resources or just time or friendship, everything we give over there is worthwhile. And anyone who's spent any time over there, and we've been getting a lot of reports from people that have been serving over there, will tell you it will bring abundant life to you if you learn how to go and give over there. It's one of the things I like so much about this community. We had a big leadership meeting this last week, and There's no arguments over like color of carpet. Well, we don't own the carpet, so that I guess takes care of that one. But there's no arguments over all those things that you so often hear, like people get into battles over in like these church leadership meetings or whatever. Like all the discussions are like, well, how much can we give towards Hawkins this? And how much can we give for a special donation here? And how much can we get? Like the whole thing is, how much can we give? Like that's that the leadership that has come from this community, that's what they're coming up with. That's what they're concerned with. That's what the budget will reflect because of the decisions they've made. That's what our time is going to reflect, and the energy we spend is going to reflect because of those decisions. And I believe those are God's kind of gifts. And for some people in this room, first and foremost me, this is the last 2 years have been such an amazing experience for me, and I've learned so much and I've grown so much, I feel like, because I've actually been around people that keep pushing me in that direction. They keep stretching me in that direction. And I'm finding more depth and more joy and more contentment in life the farther I get pushed that way. And so ultimately, again, the question for us, and again, this isn't a difficult concept in the sense of wrapping your mind around it, but it is kind of hard to put flesh and blood to it. The question is, what God are we reflecting? What God will you reflect this Christmas season, when you go back home, when you're around your family, when maybe the family relationships aren't good, or when you're giving gifts, or when you're spending time? How can you give God's kind of gifts? And this is great news for especially those of you that don't have any money, right? Because a lot of the stuff you can do, and it doesn't cost you a penny. But there's probably a grandmother in your household that would just love it if you would take the half hour to sit down with her and let her tell you some old stories, even if you really kind of deep down inside aren't all that interested. But you're giving worth and value to someone. Or go out and serve food to people who need it. If you can't afford to buy it yourself, go to a soup kitchen and serve the food they've got. Do something to give God's kind of gifts. And see what happens this Christmas season. I think in that act of giving is where we really experience the idea of God with us. Because that's when, by biblical definitions, that's when worship happens. When we sacrifice ourselves, when we serve others, God is there. And ultimately, the idea that we celebrate in communion each week, the idea that God took on flesh and blood and dwelt among us, is the ultimate expression of God's kind of giving. It is a complete emptying of God's self for us. And tonight, as you come to the communion table, celebrate that. Be thankful that God loves and gives the way God does. Be thankful that God emptied God's self for us. But also, let's not just acknowledge that and say, oh, thanks, that's just great for us. But may we learn how to imitate that. May we learn how to mimic that. May we learn how to give God's kind of gifts during the Christmas season. Go ahead and stand with me. I'm going to pray, and those that are serving communion can come on up. And during these last couple songs, the communion table will be open for anyone who wants to partake. If you don't want to, that's fine too. That's no problem. But the communion table is open for everybody. So let's think on these things. Let's think on God's kind of gifts as we come up and we partake. And as we sing these closing songs, let's pray. Oh Lord, our God, we again are just so thankful. Lord, we're thankful for a community of people around us that can push us, can stretch us into becoming a little less obsessed with ourselves, a little less obsessed with what we get out of this world and what we can take from this world, and push us towards the true joy of giving your kind of gifts, of being your kind of generous. And Lord, as we celebrate the body and the blood, as we celebrate the Word made flesh, as we celebrate a God who came and dwelt among us, Lord, may we learn how to imitate that kind of love and that kind of giving. Lord, we do love you so much, and we ask all things in your name. Amen. too bad we don't have talented people here. I'd like to apologize. I know it's just hard to listen to people that don't know how to sing or harmonize. Next time I'll mic myself so that you guys can. Thank you all very much. Man, aren't they awesome? Give me a hand. That's okay. Don't forget they're serving food over there to raise money here at Court Street. So if you're hungry, head on out. If you got kids, there's carriage rides and all kinds of stuff going on outside. We have been closing with a communal prayer that we've all been praying during Advent. I totally forgot to put it on the PowerPoint. So we're just going to ask you to do that. Is it on there? Okay, we're still going to do it, I think. Did I actually remember it? This is why my wife is so good. All right. We'll pray this together as our benediction. Lord Jesus, Master of both the light and the darkness, send your Holy Spirit upon our preparations for Christmas. We who have so much to do seek quiet spaces to hear your voice each day. We who are anxious over many things look forward to your coming among us. We who are blessed in so many ways long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose hearts are heavy seek the joy of your presence. We are your people, walking in darkness, yet seeking the light. To you we say, come, Lord Jesus. Peace be with you. Have a great night, y'all.